Earlier this month, new revelations out of the University of California, San Francisco show that the sugar industry secretly funded Harvard professors' research that cherry-picked data to suggest that fat, not sugar, was the main culprit in coronary heart disease. The research was decades ago, but it may still be driving how we understand heart health. Joining me now from New York to discuss the findings is Marion Nestle, professor of nutrition, food studies, and public health at New York University. Her most recent book is Soda Politics, Taking on Big Soda and Winning. Talk about sugar. Marion Nestle, welcome back to On Point.
Oh, glad to be here, and hi, Tom.
Hi. We wanted to catch up with how this news is going. It's a couple of weeks now since this news came out, and it was kind of a bombshell to many people. After all the years we've spent with primary focus on fats, and how they contribute to heart disease, and of course they do, did sugar get a pass because they corrupted our understanding somehow of what was going on, what was understood scientifically?
Well, what was extraordinary about this particular incident is that the documents that the UCSF investigators found made it very clear that the sugar industry knew exactly what it wanted from the research, that it paid investigators who they were pretty sure would produce the kind of evidence that they wanted, or at least the kind of review that they wanted, because those investigators were already very invested in the idea that saturated fat was a risk factor for heart disease. And the documents themselves are incredibly damning, and they certainly give more than the appearance of conflict of interest, if not conflict of interest itself. And this, of course, has continued all the way up to the present. We're still dealing with a lot of food industry-funded research that comes out, what a coincidence, with results that exactly favor the sponsor's interest.
How much influence can it have? I mean, we're talking all the way here back in the 1960s, and we're talking about essentially one set of research decades ago. How big a deal is that?
Well, it's hard to know exactly because it's all retrospective. But this was a two-part series. The reviews were a two-part series in the extremely prestigious New England Journal of Medicine in 1967. But they were part of a much larger body of research that was struggling to figure out what the role of sugar was in chronic disease risk. Sugar is calories, doesn't have any nutrients, and in small amounts, there's really nothing wrong with it. In large amounts, it causes problems. And it's very difficult to do research that will demonstrate that sugar, as opposed to the foods that sugar is in or everything else everybody is eating, is the factor that's responsible for coronary heart disease risk. So there were big debates about it at the time, and indeed for the next 20 or 25 years. These reviews did not help clarify the issue. They clearly came out in favor of saturated fat as the risk factor, and the online analysis that the UCSF investigators did of the way in which the review dealt with the research is also quite damning, because any problems with the sugar research were brought up to the front and treated very seriously. Similar problems with the saturated fat research were treated much more gently.
Was this something deliberately conceived and foreseen by the sugar industry? Were they hunting for this kind of, I don't know if exoneration is the right word, but diversion from potential issues with sugar?
Oh, they saw saturated fat as a business opportunity. If you could deflect interest in risk factors, dietary risk factors for heart disease to saturated fat rather than sugar, then they could sell as much sugar into the food supply as the food supply could absorb. And, of course, that's what happened years later in the late 1980s and early 1990s when saturated fat was listed as the single most serious risk factor for heart disease. The food manufacturers began to produce products that had no fat in them but made up the calories and sugar. That's referred to as the Snackwells phenomenon, because Snackwells cookies were made without fat but had a lot of sugar in them, and they flew off the shelves. So it was a business opportunity. And the sugar industry, the documents show that the sugar industry was very deliberately looking for a prestigious place to put in a review from prestigious investigators that would exonerate Sugar, and they got it, and they paid the equivalent of nearly $50,000 in today's dollars to do that. That doesn't look good.
Was there any transparency about that payment at the time? Was it known that they were paid by the sugar industry to publish this?
No, it wasn't. I mean, that was the really bad part. The New England Journal of Medicine articles, the New England Journal of Medicine did not require investigators to state who their funding sources were until 1984. This was 1967. But it was customary at the time for investigators to thank the funders of their studies, and it was quite customary to list whoever had funded it. And in this particular case, the investigators listed several sources, and if you knew who those sources were, one of them was the Harvard Fund for Research, and another one was something called the Nutrition Foundation. If you knew that both of these were funded by the food industry, then you would know that these investigators were taking money that had been laundered from the food industry to pay for their research. But they didn't mention the Sugar Research Foundation. I guess they forgot.
We've got one of the researchers writing to the sugar executives. We are all well aware of your particular interest, and we'll cover this as well as we can. I'm sure that was comforting. What have we learned, though, in the years since? Is it a fair question to say which is worse, fat or sugar, when it comes to coronary heart disease?
Well, I look at both saturated fat and sugars as being taken out of the dietary and the caloric context. Most people don't eat sugar on its own, and nobody eats saturated fat on its own because all food fats are mixtures.
Yeah, but our food is loaded with it. Which is more dangerous? Is sugar dangerous in heart health terms?
Oh, you can't say that. There's no way to answer that question.
Why not? Has the research not been done?
It's not possible to do the research. You need to know what else everybody else is eating. You can't do that kind of research. You can't look at sugar independently of what's in the diet, and you can't look at saturated fat independently of what's in the diet.
Have there been consequences, then, for this diversion of attention away from fat, or toward fat and away from sugar? I mean, maybe it didn't matter.
Well, I don't think there's any question about that, but these studies were only part of a much larger picture. Sugar is fine in small quantities. The minute you start eating large quantities of sugar, you're taking in more calories than you need, you're stressing the body's metabolic system, and you're doing all kinds of things that aren't good. Sugar's fine in small amounts.
Is the danger mainly about obesity, or is it about the stressing on the system that you described there?
Well, I think it's both. Certainly, obesity itself is a risk factor for type 2 diabetes and heart disease, but there may be independent components of large amounts of sugar. Certainly, that's seen with the soft drink research, which is the easiest way to research this because there are people who drink so much. Soft drinks, which has sugars, water, and nothing else of redeeming nutritional value. So the bottom line on this is everybody would be healthier eating less sugar, or most people would be healthier. Some people don't eat very much. Those people are fine. But for people who consume a lot of soft drinks or desserts, which are the main sources, eating less is probably a good idea.
And paying attention to the research that comes our way and who funds it. Marian Nestle at New York University, always great to have you. Thank you for joining us.
Glad to be here.